In the back. Hey, Stephen. All right. I love it. Some of you are like, I'm still sleeping. All right. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning. Actually, I didn't sleep much last night. I don't know. God was stirring in my life. And whenever that happens, I get really nervous. I get really nervous, first off, that why am I not sleeping before Sunday? Because usually that means whatever I have prepared gets thrown out the window, right? Or I know God's going to do some big things, and I'm excited about that. Or another one. The third option is something's going to blow up, and it's going to be wrong, and God's been going, ha, see? Right? And so last night and this morning, I just woke up in that, right? I tossed and turned. I know God's Spirit is going to move this morning. I have already had the opportunity to worship Him, and I'm excited to be in His presence, and I feel like I'm 15 steps ahead of you, and I'm ready to go, right? I hate to say it, it's kind of frustrating because I want you to be here. I want you to be with me in this moment and be like, aren't you excited for what God is doing? Because He's already been moving in my life this morning. And it's not fair because some of you have probably just woken up and you're like, all right, let's go. And I will tell you, when I wake up in the morning, first off, this morning was one of those kind of mornings, maybe I can sleep in a little bit longer. You know, I don't need to be here that early to pray and be ready for this, right? I've got it. But no, I drag in the morning. Mornings are not my time. Anybody else not a morning person, right? Who's those morning people? Okay, you're special people. You're the people that should not be around the other people in the morning. Am I right? All right. Now, on the other end of it, I do appreciate you being around me because all of a sudden I'm aware, hey, life is moving, life is going, they're happy. Okay, let's catch that, right? Right? You know, and so like, I have had a song stuck in my head. I love it. It's a firm foundation. Look it up, sing it. It is one of those songs that gets me hyped to worship God and be a part of Him because He is a God that is there. Let me repeat that. He is a God that is there. There's a lot of people in our life that we love to be able to say that. I would even love to be able to say, I'm there for my family. But I know I mess up sometimes. I know I've taken miscues. I know I've disappointed my family. You know who never disappoints with this? Our Creator. Our God, He is there. And that is so unique. That is so amazing. When I call on Him, He is there. When I'm celebrating something, He is there. When I'm hurting and alone, He is there. I don't care whatever we say, and I hope you get more out of whatever the new series is. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that this morning. That God is there. That God loves you. You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned. You might feel like you're on an island by yourself, overwhelmed with life, frustrated with what's going on. Maybe marriage is on the rocks. Maybe life, like work, is just the worst. Maybe things are just not looking great right now. I want you to know God is there. And I could end it right there. But God won't let me. Sorry. Sorry, Jackson. So we're starting a new series called Give. All right? And no, this is not about tithing today. All right, this is about being a living sacrifice, right? And what it means to give, having a life that gives, right? And I thought as I was prepping for this, there's the antithesis of this, and I went with this, YOLO. Anybody know what this stands for? I heard, oh my. It's a really old saying, right? It's kind of out of date. Nobody uses YOLO anymore, right? Correct. The hashtag YOLO. You only live once, right? It was pretty popular, I would say, for a flash in a pan kind of popularity about 15 years ago. It came out, and it was like the excuse for doing stuff that's dumb, right? Like, I would think about the times that I was in college, and we would steal the trays out of the cafeteria. Don't tell Olivet. But we would take those during wintertime, and we would YOLO. You only live once. And we'd have somebody in a car, and we'd have a rope, and we'd go have fun, right? And I'd be sitting on the back of that going, YOLO! But I wouldn't really say that because it was before my time. But you only live once kind of mindset until he breaks really hard, and then it's, I only lived once, right? And I started thinking, and there's the other way to this too. You know, I only live once now. I'm not going to do that, right? And I started thinking about these two aspects and how it relates to a moment in my life that was amazing. It was my son's 13th birthday, and we went to Michigan, and we went to the dunes. Anybody ever been to the dunes in Michigan? Okay, just one. Wonderful. I took her, right? At least I got one person engaged. Anyway, we went and rented a dune buggy, and we were going to drive up these dunes, all right? And if you've ever been to the dunes and you're driving up them, when you first start, you start to hit the dunes, and all of a sudden, you don't see, if you don't know what the dunes are, it's just piles of sand. It's beach that's just giant hills, right? And we rented this dune buggy. We're all in it, all four of us, right? I have Michelle next to me. I have the kids in the back. And all of a sudden, we hit the dunes, and you start to go, okay. And you don't see anything but sky. And you just keep driving, all right? Now, I had the two different worlds of YOLO in my car. I'm not going to tell you who the difference were, but I had one sitting next to me going, no! Right? Now, I'm being a little bit over-dramatic, but it was pretty close. I still have bruises. It's 40 years ago, right? And I just remember we're halfway up this hill, and she goes, we can't do it. We can't do it. No, I want to live. I have a son in the back where if you've driven these things, they're super loud. But I had a mirror. I could see my son, go, 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 right? And I have my daughter sitting next to him going, no. Right? So I didn't make it all the way up. I stopped because I felt the panic next to me. I felt the lack of faith that we were going to make it. Now we did get trained. They didn't just give us these cars that they're theirs and go, okay, good luck. I hope you make it. Right? We got told what to do. So if you don't make it up the sand dune, you don't get to turn around on a sand dune. You're sitting like this on a hill, all right? The only way you can come back down is to go straight backwards. All right? Now, that's fun. All right? There are moments while you're doing this, you're like, I hope we don't make it. So we can just go, all right, hopefully you don't spin. Because if you turn it just a degree, guess what happens? You roll. And that's not fun for most people. All right? And then your day's over because they come and take the dune buggy away from you. That's not fun either. All right? So, the first time we went up, we did not make it. My wife's panicking. We come straight back down. I get us all out of the car, and then I'm like giving us some pep talk, and then I say, okay, this is the new seating arrangement. Jackson, it's your birthday. You're sitting in the front seat with me. And then all of a sudden, my view, I just decided to move the mirror so I would not see anything behind me anymore. And the two ladies were in the back. And guess what we did? We hit every dune we could. It was a lot of fun. Except I don't know if the people in the back were YOLOing the way that I was YOLOing. You only live once. Let's do it. My son is like, yeah, that hill's bigger. I have the ladies in the back. I'm pretty sure we're going, no, that's death, right? both YOLOs. I want to serve. I want to save my life. I want to just, who cares? This is my only chance to do that, right? Those were the YOLOs. I want to talk about like what we do in a spiritual context that is unhealthy when we live a YOLO either way. When we think you only live once becomes all about ourselves. And I'm going to show you some things. This word, we'll come back to it. I'm not going to say this word because I don't think I can really pronounce it right. It's a Greek word, all right, and I'll explain it. But I'm going to give us some scripture here first. I'm going to start with Romans 12:11. I'm all over the map this morning, okay? YOLO with me, all right? Romans 12:11 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." All right? It's a good thing. I want to focus on the word lacking here. All right? In the Greek, this is what you get. Not YOLO, this one. Alisadia. All right? I try it. Did I get it? You think I got it? I think I got it. We'll go with it. YOLO. Anyway, all right? I'm trying to stay focused, Lord. Please be with me. All right? All right, this is a Greek word for lazy and sloth. Right? And in this, Romans 12:11, it says, never be lacking, which is lacking in, don't be lazy. Don't be a sloth. All right? Don't do those things. And what's your first mind, like when I say that word, don't be lazy, don't be a sloth, like we instantly go to like a work ethic, right? Being, never doing chores, just sitting around eating Cheetos and watching TV. That's kind of lazy and sloppy, right? This is not what this is meaning. What this means in this moment is actually a spiritual sloth, a spiritual laziness. Really just desiring our own comfort. Do you know how people can look desiring comfort? They can look really busy, can they not? If you desire, like, living a life, I only live once, so I'm going to do everything that I can to appease that once. And it's all about who? Me. Right? And in this, it talks about, too, is once I open that door to this kind of mindset spiritually, guess what? You ever hear of the seven deadly sins? Right? It opens the door to the rest of those. The moment I live a life that is this, I open the door to all the rest of the sins to be welcomed in. All right? Let me give you some things that I read about this word. Alisadia is a sin which believes in nothing, cares for nothing, enjoys nothing, loves nothing, hates nothing, finds purpose in nothing, lives for nothing, only remains alive because there is nothing which it will die for. Scary, right? I want you to know, I think even though this term YOLO isn't really existent anymore, it's outdated. I think the reality of it is living on in our society, in our lives today still. I think we have the tendency to feed our only selves when it's comfortable. Right? And this desire, like, if nothing is our goal, I don't want to have to fight for it. I don't want to have to live for it. I don't want to have to be there for it. I want it just to sustain me. I want it just to do it for me. I want it just to live for me, and I don't want to have any part in it. It should be just done. Like coming to worship God, guess what? This is a corporate thing. To worship God is not just to sit up here and stare at the people on the stage. It's not just to go, well, I didn't like that song, or this pastor, his jokes, they drive me nuts. Like, that's not what we're here for. We're here for God. And to connect with God, to worship God, to make God the center of our lives, to make God the center of this morning. And every time we sing, every time we preach, every time we shake hands, God is at the center of that. And we shake hands for a reason, and we worship God for a reason, and we give God the praise, and we listen to his word for a reason. Like, my hope is through the mess that I display to you, to the humanness of the message that I give you, is that you see God's word through it. That you seek out God through this. That you are not critical of what's being said or how it's being said or how it's being delivered, but you're engaging with God. Now, does it mean I don't have to be held accountable? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we have swung way over here on this side of looking and going, what can I find wrong with today? Because it's easy to go that this isn't about me and God, but this is about me and my comfort. Because the reality is this, the more that we engage with God, guess what starts to happen? The more that we engage with God, he moves us from what is comfortable to what is what life is about, right? Romans 12:1 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice. Let me stop right there. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices. First off, this is a paradoxical statement. How can a living thing be sacrificial? How can something, like, back in the day, you had two forms of sacrifice, right? You had the sin sacrifice. You brought something before the throne of God, and you set it down, and you slaughtered it, and it covered all your sins, all right? And then you had the burnt offerings. The burnt offerings was you find the best animal of your herd without blemish, right? And you bring it before God to symbolize that this is how I view myself before you. Everything that is good in me is given up for you. Everything that I live for, I give it up for you. How I work, how my family is, how I wake up in the day, what I do is yours. The best of Ben Alexander, I'm going to step forward and give to you. You see, I think within this relationship, yes, God is engaging in with you. God loves you right where you're at. At some points, we are still trying to discover this in our lives. Some of us are. We're still trying to figure out, is God real? Is God what I want? Is God something that he really loves me right where I'm at? But some of you are totally bought in. You know God loves you. You know it. And you know this, and we sit and be comfortable with this is not what you are engaged to do. This idea of bringing before ourselves and saying, okay, what is the best in me is now yours. My talents, I will not take credit for anymore. I give you full credit. My gifts that I have, I don't have it. It is yours. I freely give it to you. The way I see this world, I see it through your eyes. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, when we show up on a Sunday, hopefully, my hope as your pastor is that this isn't the only day you're worshiping God. That needs to resonate there, I think. That today, yeah, we signify this as a day of worship. We signify this as a day we come together with God. And my hope is this isn't the only day that you're in Scripture. This isn't your only time that you're praying. But if it is, man, I encourage you to do more. I encourage you to be in a relationship with God that's 24/7. To be in a relationship with God that is something that's outside these walls, because he is dying for you to be there outside these walls, to worship him with your body, with your actions, right? And my fear is this, is that we live a life that believes in nothing, that cares about nothing. And let me backtrace, because I think we are people that care about things, but it's a misguided care. And it's a misguided belief. We have a tendency to put our beliefs in things that are human-based. Right? And when we take God out of that, it's easy to look and go, okay, I'm on this side of the fence, I'm on this side of the fence. They believe this, they believe this, and I'm trenched in. When we turn to God, it changes that whole thing around, and we know what's real and what's true, and what we believe and what this world tries to sell is two different things. Right? The American dream is not what Christ's dream is for us. It's not. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love being able to have a home. I love having a car. I love having my family. I love those things. And I would say they're the best of me. And at the same time, I have to give them over to God daily. Right? I do. I have to be a living sacrifice. You know, again, I've talked about this before. The world is looking for authentic Christians. They're not looking for ones that are just full of hot air. They want to see what you preach about, teach about, say, argue, like stand up and protest about. They want to see you live it out, not just speak it out. And the other aspect of this, too, is understanding, hey, we are, and you can fight me on this, and we can talk about it later, but we are all hypocrites. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody in here is perfect without the grace of God. Understand? And he still calls us, wants to be a part of us, and it's a daily routine of living this out, to offer our lives as living sacrifices, to give our life to God. Looks like this. We are asked to bring emotion, discipline, and urgency to the task of being living sacrifices in the lives we live and work we do. We are asked to live with passion. This is a quote by Timothy Keller. He's a great writer. He's a great pastor. He was a pastor in New York, right? And at that time that he was a pastor, only 3% of New Yorkers went to church and considered themselves Christians. So he knew, okay, there's a mission field. What defines them is by their outcome, how they work, what they do, how they can show the world of what their accomplishments are, right? And he comes in and says, that passion's so empty. The passion in which we need to live by is the passion that God gives us. And it's, we only find that every time we give our life over to God. Right? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. It is so easy to become spiritually nothing, empty, to allow anything in this world to come creeping in and reside in that and rule us. And it's disguised sometimes with God. It's disguised by self-righteousness. It's disguised by indignation of that this is who we are and this is what we should do. And we've lost out on the grace and the mercy that God offers and how he puts that in there to be the same with others. Right? God did not call us to be YOLOs. He did not call us to, you know, think about in the terms of satisfying my needs right now. You only live once. Or being protective, like, you only live once. I can't do anything. No, he calls us to be living sacrifices, which is dangerous all the time for him. Right? And I think about Peter. And I come to the boat scene where he says, he yells out, and right? He goes, "Who is coming?" And he steps, and he goes, "Ah, it is me, it's Jesus." And he goes, "If it really is you, Jesus, call me out." And he steps out, and he's walking on water. He's walking on water. He embodied the mindset in that moment of being a living sacrifice, because his passion and understanding of his life was not about him, but it was about Jesus living there. What is God calling in your life right now to be walking out in that and going, okay, time to give this up. Time to move on from this. Time to let me have control of your life, the things that you value, the things that you are embracing. I've had people in my life, they've embraced depression. They've just embraced it, and it's defined them, and they can't get out of it. I've had people embrace, like, a past hurt, and they just, that's who they are. And they can't allow God to have that. Right? I think God wants to come in, and I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. Like, I understand pain. I understand hurt. I understand moments in our life can be defining of us. But the reality is this, too. God wants to come in and redefine those moments. He wants you to go, okay, this is not a chain that I put around my neck anymore. This is not something that I have to be bound by anymore. If I truly believe in God, call me out in the water and I'll let it go. What is it that you need to allow God to have this morning, and that you become the living sacrifice for him? Maybe it's doubt. I'm telling you right now, the people... Like, this is amazing. Scripture has this. There's disciples that doubted Jesus came back. And they doubted so much, they got to touch him with his wounds and feel in. And like, those are real wounds. Let me feel it. That's really my Messiah. You know what's amazing about that? We don't get that. We don't get to go and let me touch that. Let me see that. Let me feel that. Our doubt can overwhelm us. And this is why we need to come to God and go, take my doubt. In these moments, God is bigger than our doubts. And he loves us through it. But we have to, even through our doubts, faith can reign. Faith can run with that. And God's big enough to love us through our doubts. You know what's amazing about that scene is Jesus was not frustrated, he was not hurt. What did he do with doubting Thomas, if you know? What did he do? He reached out his hands. He showed the wounds. He even showed the wound in his ribs and said, "See, go ahead, feel that. I am real." I think many of us, when I know this with being married, when I tell something, and I'm telling it from my perspective, right? And I'm saying it, and they go, "Well, I don't think it happened that way." I'm like, "Oh, it did. Trust me, I was there." And then it's like, "No," right? I wasn't gonna blame it. But we get frustrated. I look at our master, and the one that should be frustrated with us all the time, especially when we doubt, especially when we wonder if he's real, especially what he's done in our lives, and we go, "I don't want to really live this way. I want to live for my own self," right? He comes along and goes, "I'll show you. I'll keep showing you. I am there always with you, no matter what you're going through." I think some of us need to have the moment in our lives where we're ready to give the burnt offerings. The stuff in our lives that we know we treasure, the stuff in our lives that we know it defines who we are, that we need to lay down before God and go, "This is yours. Have it. Take it. Do with it what you will, and I will give you the praise. Right? We are not called to live comfortably. We are not called to live in lacking with zeal. This is what we are called to live as. Let me again. We are asked to bring emotion. God wants us to have an emotional tie with him. We are called to be disciplined in our relationship, in our spiritual walk. We are not called to just go, okay, I got this done today. I filled the need here. You know, we are called to be disciplined with our faith. That means routinely doing things with God, whether that's reading his word, whether that's spending time with God, whether that means I'm living out God's word daily. And we are called to live with urgency. I think this is huge in our lives. That our walk with God needs to be something of urgency. There's people around us every day that are going to hell. And it is our call to show them God. It is our call to show them there's another way. It is our call to be the heaven that they never knew of before. And we need to be urgent about that. We have a purpose. Are you ready to give your life to that purpose? That's your question this week. Stand with me. As we leave today, this is our charge, to ask God, what do I need to give? Ask it every morning this week. I implore you. And I would ask you, if God speaks to you, if God tells you what you need, to let him know that you will do it. And I would charge you to this. You can even contact me, but I tell you, you need to tell somebody else where God is calling you to be, where God is calling you, where you need to lay down the things of your life that you know that either lead you away, or you know that you take pride in it, or you know that God just wants to use it to glorify him. To bring that to somebody and say, okay, this is what God is saying. This is the area in my life that I need to step out and be called, hey, I'm ready to walk on the water for you. Tell somebody. Because we are not, this is the part of the church, we are not called to do this alone. We are called to do this together. To be living sacrificially together. To give our lives to God. This week, take the mornings to ask God that question. All right? Church, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that you fill our hearts with a purpose. And we work that purpose out with you. Lord, this morning I pray that we don't lack any zeal, that we are not lazy in our faith. Lord, I pray that you come in and search our hearts and that we listen and we are prepared to lay down our burnt offerings before you. We give you all the praise, Lord. I pray this week that you speak to us. And we live a life with urgency and discipline and with emotion towards you. We give you all the praise. May we go in peace knowing how much you love us and how much you're there for us. Amen. You're dismissed, church.